Hello, boys and girls. Welcome to another edition of the Clutched Podcast. My name is Yvette Kikuyu, a.k.a. Amaka, the original, the certified just monger. And on this platform, we aim to educate, empower, and entertain through life's crazy stories. Because, my friend, I don't chop breakfast, though. Last, you don't cast. Now everybody go chop breakfast. The streets are cold. The streets are rugged. My friend, if you have your person right now, just go and hug them. Just go and hug them and say, man, I just wanted to hug you. Because let me tell you, my friend, the streets 2.0 post-corona is not a joke. People are mad. Where is everywhere, let me tell you. But thank God, oh, may I thank God, because this year things are slightly changing for me. Have you ever chopped heartbreak? But then you're like, this one didn't come with a dash of poverty and painstaking annoyingness. Like, I didn't have to lower my standards to accommodate this person. Like, this person was in a new league that I am quite excited to explore, to be honest. Like, I am now no longer in the streets, you know. I am in a gated community. So in the gated community, we don't call them streets, we call them lanes. So me, Amaka, I'm slaying in my lane. But these people, the higher you go is not the cooler it becomes. The higher you go, the madder the manner. Anyway, let's jump into the intro. We'll be right back for a very interesting session. You know, I give my best content when I speak from a point of pain. So I hope you guys are going to enjoy this segment. We're going to be discussing a lot of things that are related to emotional intelligence. Today, I specifically want to echo on what love bombing is, because this thing is worse than crack. It's an addiction. Anyway, let me not divulge too much right now. See you after the beep.
Hi, welcome to Auntie Kiko's podcast. Enjoy!
We're back. Have you ever been in a situation where you admire a guy, but in your mind you're like, Yvette, look at your history, look at your track record. Impossicant is not possible. Men, don't think that we don't check you guys out, and we don't gauge, and we don't think, and we don't tick boxes. And sometimes it's not even about, like, okay, yeah, swagger does play a big role to it, like how you dress up, you know, how you put things together, and doesn't necessarily have to be brands. First of all, if you're that kind of guy who wears that overbranded stuff with the big Balenciaga and the big Gucci on your chest, Subtle things. It's in the watch, it's in the shoes, it's in the glasses, it's in how clean he is. Does he look like the kind of guy who goes for a pedicure, a manicure? His skin routine seems to be giving, you know, this is someone who has a CTM, cleanser, toner, moisturizer kind of night routine. Do you understand? Like, these are those small subtle things that you cannot fake. You either have it or you don't. So as I'm checking this guy, I'm like, Yvette, this one, you know yourself. There is a certain type of guy that you attract. Lo and behold, Nami Amaka Hidesi also. I say, wonderful, American wonder. My God, oh, thank you. My life is changing. I am now attracting a higher caliber of narcissists, to say the least, because the kind of madness I don't see for the last 1 month. Hey! The streets, I don't know. I understand why women are turning gay. I do. I absolutely do. And I do not judge them, because madness. Anyway, I'm not going to go into a lot of those details because the story is still loading. It's not complete. So I don't want to be giving you incomplete episodes. Like, I want the whole thing to manifest and complete, so that when I come, I will be like Netflix. I hit you with 8 episodes, bam, 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 season 1, and you can binge. Because, this one a first class heartbreak, oh, not be economy or business. First class. That's what I'm saying, you know. It's a slap on my face, but it's a tap on my shoulder. So I'm just a little bit confused about how my life is going on right now. But we move regardless. We go going. Yeah, that's the theme. So today, obviously, I've been in a heartbroken, stricken kind of mood the last few days. And I decided, let me try and understand these emotions that I'm feeling. Because I feel like sometimes I like to process my heartbreaks using logic and emotion. And as I grow older, I think I use more of logic, because emotions comes with a lot of fantasizing, building castles on the air. You still like this person, so you're still longing for them. So emotions give me a lot of false hope, to say the least. And I'm the kind of person who likes to plan for the worst, prepare for the worst, and then hope for the best. So as I was going through and ruminating through my feelings over the last few days, of course I took time. In the gracious words of my best friend Grace, she says, Yvette, feel your feelings right now so that you don't have to feel them later. Feel them now, ruminate in them, ask in them, and eventually everything fades, my friend. Nothing lasts forever, even this life. We too soon, we shall go. So that's exactly what I did. But at some point, I felt like I was self-sabotaging myself, because as much as the relationship is, I don't know if I should say complete or inconclusive. Well, basically, he ghosted me. Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. So it's not like it ended on a bad note, it's over, blah, blah, blah. No, it's just a long gap of silence that has completely messed up with my psychology. And I did not think in this, my big age, with all my wisdom, somebody can come and do this to me. But lo and behold, nobody is immune to heartbreak. Did we ever think that Teflon Don can break Burna Boy's heart? Senior playboy for the streets, Teflon Don, don't come and scatter everything. Ka, 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 ka. Whomst am I, Amaka? So the last 2 days, I've just been taking my time to understand, like, what is love? What is good love? What is toxic love? What are the qualities of a toxic relationship? How do you spot red flags? Is this something you can plan for, or is it proactive, or you just have to bite the bullet and accept that it's reactive? All these things have been going through my head. So I went to University of YouTube and I just started Googling random things. How to date a high value man. I'm laughing at myself, because men can make you do stupid shit, especially when the D is good. Oh my God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and the donkey that took them to Bethlehem. Ah, why is fornication so sweet? I'm in trouble, though. So, yeah. And I stumbled across some really, really good information that I was like, I have to take this to my gist mongers. This is pure liquid gold. So today, I will be digging deep into 2 or 3 main topics. And we're going to start off by something that I think all of us know, but we've never really put it into perspective. As a result, we gamble through it instead of walking into it with a frame of mind. Speaking of walking, people, I'm tired of falling in love. I don't want to fall. I heard this on a Ugandan podcast, and now I am feeling it to the core of the pits of my soul. Me, I don't want to fall in love. Oh, why must I be getting injured when I'm falling? Why? I want to gently, slowly catwalk, strut into love graciously. Like the royalty that I am. This falling, it's a trap. Don't ever say I want to fall in love. Just walk at your pace, my friend. Because that falling is the number one red flag. So let's start with, what is love bombing? Love bombing is an excessive affection, admiration, and adoration of a new partner too quickly. So when I was looking at this, I said, have you ever been in a relationship? You meet a guy, the vibes are okay and stuff. And then by day 2, day 3, you're talking the whole day. Like, you're constantly just giggling at your phone. He's calling you. He's sharing memes on Insta. You know it's going to get toxic when he starts communicating to you the whole day across different platforms. You log into Instagram, bam, he's there at the top of your DM. He has sent you memes. You come to WhatsApp, he's checking on you. Have you eaten? Have you had lunch? Have you done this? Can I send you a delivery? No sooner have you even replied to the message, he's called you back. Is everything okay? Are you driving? Blah, 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 blah. I say one person, all this attention. Mark, you bear in mind, me, Yvette, I'm a certified loner. In this Dubai, it's only work. I see people. When I come back to my house, if my girl Olive is not with me, I'm always alone. So this sudden surge of attention, and then there's a fatal attraction. Let me tell you, my people, I am not a morning person. But in the last 3 weeks, I have been looking forward to mornings. Because I'm like, what does this day hold for me? I'm expecting good vibes. I'm expecting to be romanced. Hey, little did I know, this is a massive red flag. Never gauge the measure of your relationship by the intensity, but by its consistency. I say that to say this. If you meet this guy, and in 1 week, you're probably seeing him every day for endless amounts of time. Red flag. Red flag. Abeg, doesn't he have things to do? Ah, what was he doing before he met you? I don't understand. All of a sudden, you just have free time and you want me to be with you all the time. Space it out a little bit. When they are trying to discombobulate your brain, suffocate you in that euphoria of love, make you not see anything else besides them. Imagine when they pull the plug and they stop. Tell me you will not be an addict. Tell me you will not need emotional rehab to pick yourself up, because now you've completely built your world around them. Massive red flag. He who has ears, oh, you better listen. Eh? Use your tongue and count your teeth, because a word is enough for the wise. I've said my own. So now they have suffocated you. They have wined and dined you. You've been dressing up. Your skin is glowing. The D is good. All of a sudden, you have dished the cookie. Unfortunately, men are hunters. At some point, the novelty wears off, and there's another bigger, better bitch than you, honey. Yes, the world doesn't revolve around you. You're in freaking Dubai, a global fucking village. He can have a map on his wall and decide, next week, I want to be with the girl from Jamaica. And in this Dubai, he will find a girl from Jamaica. The next week, he can say, take me to Antigua. And he will find a babe from Antigua. So don't come and think that it's only you that has this precious stone between your legs. Wanaosema nyama ni nyama, butchery ndio tofauti. Hawakukosea wala hawakuenda segemnege, my friend. Manake, wengine walizaliwa kutoka hiyo nyama, na ni kama maishani mwao wote wanataka kurudi huko ndani. Sielewi jamani. So, back to the point, I digress a little bit. He then cuts it off. And you would be lucky if he is at least a dignified man who is not trying to have a series of heartbreaks in his life. And for every man that does this, I pray that you only give birth to female children, so that as they're growing up and they're falling in love as well, you can witness the pain that you put on other women upon your own blood, your own flesh and blood. Heartbreak Hotel speaking. So then he stops. So then what happens is that now you try to reciprocate the affection, the time, the attention. But then he also microdoses it and is like, you'll send like, you'd also just see it like, there's nothing I hate in this world like double texting. Like, I just feel it's such a quick way to make someone get tired of you. Like, you look at your WhatsApp messages, all of a sudden they used to flow, conversation. Now, it's just like you in a paragraph, and then he replies in one sentence. And selectively, he will choose the least of the issues in that paragraph to address, and then let you ruminate on that for hours. You'll now be going crazy, you'll be going mad, you'll be in the girl group chat saying, what is happening to me? I think I'm under a spell. But this guy has been on game since day one. And trust me, he's won. That's the unfortunate part. So please, I don't know if this is going to save someone. Maybe you're in this situation as well. Maybe this will open your mind small to use your wisdom so that you can understand, hey, this is what is happening to me at the moment. Right? Thank me later. So when you now get into that phase, now you're overcompensating. You're opening up too much, too quickly. And one thing that I'll tell you for free is, in such situations, the best thing to do is just to reciprocate in silence, because the more bullets you give this man, the more he will use against you. You're literally showing him your nakedness, your openness, and he does not deserve it. And on top of that, he has already got the cookie. So really, there's not really much more you're offering me, babe, respectfully. I am a high-value man in a high-flying position, living in a prime area code, driving a nice car, in a nice job. Do you think you're the only woman who is seeing these fine qualities? It's not only you. There's a whole line, a whole string of women. And I'm telling you, post-pandemic, both of us, male, female, Team Rainbow, all of us are mad. So there are no rules in this game. It's just may the best man win. But at what expense? your dignity, your self-worth? At what expense? Sometimes backing out is the fastest way to gain victory. Never play a game that you can never get out of, and never play a game that you can't understand. It is what it is. So yeah, so it took a lot of self-control for me not to simp. And for those who do not know what simping is when you do too much to win someone's affection. Like, I think my best friend calls it the best way. She says it's called pick-me-itis. It's like you always want to show the man, pick me, I'm doing all these amazing things for you. Wow, I'm the one, pick me. It doesn't work. This, the allure of mystery, the allure of not knowing did I have her, did I not have her, is what I feel kind of creates, I don't know, maybe I could be wrong because I'm not a man, but I'm just saying from the basic conversations that I've had with a lot of my friends, that's what keeps the intrigue, that's what keeps the interest. But if you're just constantly in his face, unsolicited and provoked, open book, very easy, very predictable. You're the kind of person he's going to text DTF at 2 a.m. and you will wake up, shit, shower, shave, and dress up and go and get laid and then come back in the morning with an orgasm and a heartbreak. Good luck if you even get the orgasm. It is what it is, right? So, like I said, when this happens and he pulls the plug, just take your L like the queen you are and just be like, he, apa nimechezwa, nimechezwa, katasim, tupo site. Umechezwa kweli kweli, take your L and just keep it moving. So I then digressed and I was just like, okay, fine, I get it. Yeah. It sucks to be me right now, but it's not the end of the world. You pick up the pieces and you keep it moving. Thank God we do not come with a list of all our failed relationships on our forehead. So next, right? Then I now Googled, what are the main components of love? And this is when I stumbled upon a theory by a guy called Robert Sternberg in 1985. It's called The Triangle of Love. And it basically identifies, let me pause. Everybody, if you can right now, wherever you are, because this is obviously on an audio platform, just grab a pen and paper and walk with me through this, if that's okay. Okay, I hope you've grabbed your pen and paper. Let's keep it moving real quick. So I need you to draw a triangle, okay? At the pinnacle of the triangle, I would like you to write the word intimacy. On the left-hand side, on the left angle, I would like you to write the word passion. And on the right-hand angle of the triangle, I would like you to write the word commitment. These are basically the three variables that build love. Intimacy plus passion plus commitment equals to love. Very few people on this planet, very few, get all three. Most of us only get one. Sometimes a combination of two. And the combination that you attract or the one that you feel is a common pattern amongst all your relationships will always determine the quality and the longevity of your relationships. So for example, I have daddy issues. Unfortunately, my dad was killed when I was six and my mom never remarried. So I've never had a father figure in my life. I have uncles who came and went. I had a very, very good, he was not even my relative. He was one of my mom's friend's husband, Uncle Valence Mbogo. Shout out to you. You're a fucking legend. Rest in peace, king. This is the one man who used to talk to me like, I remember, even when I used to get bad grades, because at some point he did help with financing my primary school education. So we would go and sit down and would go through my report form and stuff. But he gave very constructive criticism. He never made me feel like I was less than. He never made me feel that I will only get love when I start improving my math grades. Like the outcome of me being better in something that I suck at is what will determine the proportion of love I get. So that's, I really thank this guy because he made me realize that whether you do it or not, you're still part of us. But can you at least try and put in the effort and see what the results would be? I say that to say this. The fact that I have daddy issues makes it harder for me to commit, which is actually a massive pillar in great love, because I've never had that in my life. I can't relate to what I don't know. all I know is the unavailability of a male figure. And in this case, it's not because like he didn't choose me or he didn't acknowledge me as his child, which I think is worse. When you know your father is alive, he's probably remarried and he's in a new family and he intentionally does not pay attention to you. So you just know like this man is somewhere and he doesn't even care about me. I think that's even worse in terms of daddy issues. But in my case, the world robbed me of him. So I connect romantic love to unavailability because that's what I'm used to. I don't know if that makes sense. I don't know. But if you feel me spiritually, say yeah, yeah. Because I know this is something that is actually a pandemic right now in Kenya because the growing number of single parents, that means kids are growing with a linear form of parenting instead of a bilateral form of parenting. And both aspects are extremely important for a kid's mental health and well-being, right? So now that you've drawn the triangle, you have intimacy at the pinnacle at the top, you have passion and commitment at the bottom. Let's explore what these things are and let's start at the top of the mountain. Intimacy is very simple. This can even apply in things like friendship, relationships you have with people at work. You know, the people who just get you without you explaining yourself. It doesn't mean that you want to knock them. It doesn't mean that you have a relationship. But when you guys just sit down and talk and rub minds, you laugh, the vibes are vibing, that is intimacy. And I like to break down the word intimacy into me see. Like I am allowing you to see me for who I am and not what I want you to see. Remember that we are living in a highly driven validation era. Like everybody's a narcissist these days, whether you like it or not. Before, narcissists had to go and look for attention, affection, admiration outside, maybe by being the boss in the office. Everyone is walking on eggshells around you. That gives you a form of power. Maybe you go to parties and you're the life of the party and everybody likes your vibe, so that gives you your knack energy. But now all you have to do is just wake up and post a cute pic on Instagram without even leaving your house. It's even worse. You're getting validation from people you don't know. Why? So that is what intimacy is. Now, let's go towards the left side of the triangle because this is where the madness starts. Passion. Ah, oh! Very dangerous feeling. If not managed and controlled, it can lead to self-destruction. It's very fast. It's very blinding. It literally surges all your happy hormones in your body. Like you just see this person, your hair is standing, your nipples will betray you, blood is rushing into places that you have not felt in a long time. You're getting lightheaded. What the hell? How can one human being have such an intoxicating feeling over me, you know? And it's very sexual driven. That's why it's called passion. It's deep. Passion is the drive that leads to romance in a physical attraction and sex. Now, commitment, which is the last part that me, Yvette Achieng, Melissa Kerubo Kikuyu, aka Amaka, I am struggling with, is commitment. Choose to love you, choose to stay with you. And commitment at the beginning of the relationship is me being consistently there for you, but not in a love bombing way. Like I space myself to slowly get comfortable. And that's why I firmly believe that some of the best relationships in this world start off with just like intimacy and commitment, and the passion can build over time because that sexual tension is where the madness is. That one is where you'll be doing things that you have sworn upon your life you can never do, but then when the coochie betrays you, honey, you're going to do shit and you'll be like, what the fuck am I doing? And you're still going to do it. And commitment, I think I've already explained. It's just the I choose you. I want to be with you. And eventually the longest form of commitment is me saying, I choose you forever. Like, let's do this. As I mentioned before, very few people get all three. And when you get all three, it is also known as consummate love, aka complete love. Now, before I say getting all three, it's very rare that you will get all three at once. But in most mature relationships, you will either have two at the same time And then sometimes maybe through a setback or some emotional trauma in your relationship, you work on rebuilding the complete picture. And that's why it's called complete love. They're happy together and choose to be together, are highly attracted to each other. There's something called the Michelangelo effect, whereby I feel like love can never be proportionate. Like, even if I meet a guy today, I like him. He can never like me to the exact same measure I like him. Impossible. It's not possible. It either grows over time. And as it grows, it's a shift of balance. It's like a seesaw. So at some point, one will have to do more to accommodate the relationship and vice versa. And that's where the Michelangelo effect comes in. And it says like, okay, fine, I understand, babe, you're going through this. You're feeling like you're not successful. Your career is not advancing. What do I need to do to help you to get to a better place? That is me willing to put my feelings, my emotions, my comfort at the expense of you gaining long term. Oh, babe, I think I want to go and study blockchain technology. It's a course, but it might set us back a few thousand of dollars in terms of school fees and stuff. And that means you might have to pick up a couple of the bills for the next months as I'm studying. But this is the future of technology. So in 2-3 years, we'll be minting and I will be able to reverse the cycle and then I can take care of you. Michelangelo effect. But because most of us are so focused on the passion and intimacy driven by the advent of social media, reality TV, all these big, lustrous, grand gestures of affection and love, flying private jets, destination weddings, pictures of big, long paragraph captions that you want us to feel like your whole relationship is bliss and behind closed doors you're fighting and you know he's gay. Commitment is the least paid attention to. Do you get what I mean? Now, let's explore the dangerous ones. And the most dangerous one to me, actually, is passion plus intimacy. And most relationships actually start like this. And that's why it's called the honeymoon phase. Because, like I said, intimacy is intimacy. So automatically, we already have a bond. We like each other. We might have common goals, common hobbies, common themes that bring us closer, topics that we can talk about endlessly and not realize how time just froze and we've been in this moment. And then that backed up by the sexual tension. I want this person. I'm attracted to them. My hormones are betraying me. Like that combination right there. Hey, hey, my sister. This is why you start taking loans. And the guy has not told you he has 3 baby mamas in 3 different cities. The guy has not told you his mother is organizing for him a wife from their village for him to marry. The guy has not told you he's probably in Dubai on a contract for 6 months. So in 6 months, he will just vamoose and disappear from the planet and you will not be able to find him. So there's no commitment. And then the worst part as women, when we feel like we don't want to ask those tough questions because, oh my God, it turns men off when you ask, what are we? Where is this going? I say, what are we? I told her, we are who we are. Hey, you'll be given responses, my friend. You now start to simp. You now get into that pick-me-itis mode where you go over and above to show this man how you feel, avoiding the tough questions, thinking that this is what will now complete the triangle and then drive him towards commitment. My dear brothers and sisters, I'm happy to tell you that that is a freaking recipe for disaster. Okay? If you have sense, just accept that it is what it is. Short-lived, enjoy, create the memories, because last, that's the only thing we're going to take to our grave. But this man committing, you have higher chances of seeing the Pope before he commits. It is what it is. Because men, have you ever talked to a guy and you say, okay, so how did you know she was the one? And he's like, from the day I met her, I just knew I wanted to make her my wife. Like, before even the intimacy, before even the passion, the man has already just, there's something that has calibrated and connected in his mind, and he's like, this is the woman I want. And he will go for it. So when it starts from a point of commitment, which sometimes is often called empty love, because this is me choosing, but I really don't know what I'm choosing, but I'm happy to discover if what I've seen in you is what I'm thinking in my head. I hope you're going with the flow of what I'm saying, right? So, for example, one common phenomena of empty love is arranged marriages from India. You don't know this person from Adam. Your parents have just gone on our website, selected a random person with this CV and his profile. you people meet for the first time, you hang out. Alhamdulillah, God is good. You have some intimacy. There are topics you can converse. You're a virgin in most cases, so you've never had sex before. So even if the sex is whack with this person, you will not know because you have nothing to compare it to, right? And then maybe many years later, you now become emancipated and you realize that society had blocked your mental mental expansion, and you had been programmed to believe that life has to go a certain way, and then you rebel and you free yourself, and then now you start to explore. Do you understand? So, like I said, very few people get all three, and most of us get a combination of two. If you're lucky, even one. So we have explored passion plus intimacy. Now let's explore passion plus commitment. Passion plus commitment is also known as fatuous love. Fatuous love is simply characterized by a whirlwind courtship, very fast, in which passion motivates commitment without stabilizing or influence of intimacy. So you people, it's like you're sex buddies, FUBU, for us by us. But it's so intoxicating, and you're enjoying it so much. Remember we said that one common characteristic of passion is speed. Speed, desire, and addiction is what passion is all about. So this person offers you commitment. There's passion, but there's no intimacy. We have not even discussed what our five-year plan is, how many kids we want. Do we even have the same genetic code? Are we going to give birth to kids who are not mentally okay? Like, there's so many things that people have to discuss before they actually bite the bullet to choose to become, to choose to be together forever, right? This is those typical things like where you go, you meet someone, in 6 weeks you're already engaged, in 2 months you're already married, and then you enter and you're like, what the hell did I do? Now I have to see this person every day, every night. Their habits are coming out that I don't like. You didn't establish any intimacy. You didn't have any buffers in the beginning. It was all driven by sex. And because they chose you, you felt special. And now you're stuck in this unhappy marriage where not all of your needs are being served. In most cases, it's very hard to build intimacy from passion. Because when passion fades, and it will definitely fade, what is the goal for me to want to know your mind? How will it help me if the sex is boring? Why? And such marriages, unfortunately, do not last long. It's just a quick fix. And unfortunately, it leaves both of you worse than how you began. So spot the red flag, honey, and run as fast as you can. So we've done passion plus intimacy. We've done passion plus commitment. Now let's do compassionate love, which is actually intimacy plus commitment. I love this form of relationships. Like, I love being in a male-female relationship where there's no sexual tension. But then when everybody hears us or sees us in a room, everyone's like, oh my God, you two look good together. You should definitely date. And I'm like, we're just good friends. There's no passion. There's no fatal attraction. There's no sexual tension. But we get along. My bad, I mispronounced. So intimacy plus commitment equals to companionmate love. And this is actually evident across all genders. Like, you have a best friend. I just did an episode a few weeks ago with my best friend. And I think for me, from a female perspective, that is a companionate love. Like, there's intimacy, we've shared a lot of memories, hobbies that connected us, and also we've experienced so much together that has made our bond even closer. And there's commitment, like there's that intentional action to keep the friendship alive, the constant talking, the constant having heart to hearts and just saying, man, this is what I'm going through, this is what I'm feeling. Even when you're embarrassed, like, you can openly and honestly just be yourself without the fear of, will they reject me, will they judge me, or something else. And from a male-female perspective, I think if you're a great fan of the podcast, you probably had my two-part series with one of my very good friends called Abu, highly intelligent, high-value man. I feel like he feeds all my sapiosexual energy. And this is someone that I can talk to hours on end about anything and everything. Even when I'm saying stupid stuff, I don't have that that fear of like, I always have to appear intelligent. I always have to appear like I know and I have everything under control. I can just be my vulnerable self and just be like, man, life is kicking my ass right now. And I know part of it is my fault because I'm the one who put myself in this shit, even though my conscience tried to warn me. I decided to go with the pain of regret because in that very moment, the pleasure felt so good. And he'll be like, so what do we do from now? Where are we going with this? Okay, I'm giving you 3 days to feel your feelings. After that, we need to create a plan of how you're moving on because this ain't it. Straight up no chaser. And at no point has he ever made me feel like he's hunting, like he wants, like there's a sexual connotation to everything that he does. Never. He's very open about the woman that he is with. He talks to me about her. So why would I want to go and simp and be like, pick me, at the expense of losing this great relationship we have? Like, I feel it's extremely important for every woman to have companionate love because it just eliminates all the sexual tension, which, like we said, is a high-speed thrill, which kills. And you might end up losing something beautiful at the expense of chasing a short-term sexual experience. Is it really worth it? Do you get what I mean? So most relationships that actually succeed start from a companionate form of view because, yeah, there are no hidden agendas. Like, this is who I am. Take me or leave me. It is what it is. I will not die. And eventually, if the passion then builds up, then it's a beautiful ending, right? So, yeah. So we've discussed passion plus intimacy. We've discussed passion plus commitment, which is fatuous love. And we've discussed intimacy plus commitment. And I already mentioned in the beginning that when all three happen, that is when you have consummate love, which is also known as complete love, right? This also mainly happens, like you see consummate love amongst like old people who've been married for 50 years. They're probably not even having sex if they are, good for them. But they sit together, they finish each other's sentences, their body language. Like, you can just see like these are two people who have stood the test of time and can now account for them choosing each other regardless of the ups and downs that they've experienced. Another form of companionate love that can work but is equally very risky is baby mama relationships, right? It probably started as a passion plus intimacy connection. That's why you people consummated and made a whole freaking baby. And then eventually you just realize, I'm not ready to commit. It's not for me. Maybe it's just not the right time. There's no Mr. Right. There's Mr. Right time. A man also has to be in that mental space of like, okay, I'm done hoeing. I'm done with the streets. I finally want to settle down, start a family, and do my thing. And there's no way as a woman you can drive a man to that decision. No. Who are you? It has to come from his own volition, his own choosing, his own standpoint. So baby mama relationships where, you know, okay, fine, this is not working. Maybe you've even moved on. You have someone else. But for the sake of the well-being of this child, there's an intimacy. You're my friend. I like you. We can meet and talk things family related. And there's a commitment towards bringing this child separately but together and ensuring that not only are we catering for their physical well-being, but their mental and emotional upbringing is also, you know, well taken care of, right? So those are the main things that I just wanted to talk to you guys about today. I hope this has been very informative for you as it was for me. Now, it's never a Clatchet podcast without a challenge. I need you to sit down. Looking at that triangle, ask yourself, where do you lie? Are you in the process of chopping breakfast like Yvette, where there was passion and intimacy but no commitment? Or are you the person who is currently going through a companionate love where you like someone but you're not sure if it's going to advance sexually? You kind of want to accelerate it but you don't know where to start. Leave it alone. If it'll happen, it'll happen without you even knowing. Like, the universe will just collide and things will work for your greater good. But in the meantime, enjoy the companionate connection you have. Or are you the kind of person who has passion and commitment and are fatuous and are making weird, crazy decisions to take a loan for someone you've known for 2 months or start a business for them because he has promised you marriage and he's going to change your life? This is a scam, emotional scam. This is Tinder swindling. it is what it is. So map out the love map, draw out the love map, and let me know where you lie. Be very honest and true to yourself. You might be in multiple relationships, and I think this is one thing that men actually do way better than women, because men date horizontally. There will be like five chicks they're dating at the same time. And each relationship would probably serve a different type of love. One could be intimacy plus passion. One can be intimacy plus commitment. One can be passion plus commitment. And then eventually they will choose. Remember, I said, and I said this again, very few people get all three at once. Sometimes you have to start with two and then work on the third one. I mean, this love game was never meant to be easy. I don't know why they sell us a fantasy and fairy tales, because it is freaking hard work. And do let me know in the DM and the comment section what and where you stand and how this episode has made you feel. Now, in conclusion, in most cases, if you're in a passion and committed relationship, whirlwind of emotions, and he's finally chosen you, and yes, you're in an exclusive and everybody knows that you're an item, good for you. But most likely, this is not a success story. This is going to be a short-term win, because this is the most common form of love when it comes to dealing with narcissistic men and women. I don't know why this whole connotation of narcissism has been more inclined towards the men instead of the women, because women, we are equally narcissistic in this era of like, you're a queen, you're royalty, you're this, don't tilt your crown, don't do this. Everyone is a knack. And when you identify these traits and you realize, no, I can't be going through this. They go through the whirlwind of love bombing you. Every time they feel like you're withdrawing their attention, they come with a bigger grand gesture. And then when it fades, they ask you for something. And you're like, aha, so this is why this person was doing this, because they wanted X, Y, Z. There's this, I don't know if I should call it an acronym or a theory, and it says the best way to deal with a narcissistic man is deep. D-E-E-P. Do not defend yourself when they attack you, because that's exactly what they want. Do not explain yourself. Over explaining, you're going to unleash and say things. And remember one thing narcissists do very well. They will rile you up. They will get you on a higher emotional frequency when you're pissed off, when you're livid. Why are they not understanding me? And then you might end up saying things that you will regret, and then they will use them against you. And that's why I say refrain from defending, explaining, engaging with them. Can we talk? Mm-mm. There's no way you're going to win that argument. He's already come guns blazing. And if you have been defending and explaining yourself, he has all the weapons of mass destruction to destroy you, kill your self-confidence, and make you feel less than. And do not personalize. And I think personalization comes from a point where you would have to alienate some of your friendships and let them just be for you. Let it be selfish, but this is protecting yourself. Because in the long run, when they see that someone is feeding you sense, someone is making you come to the realization that I'm getting played, this is a toxic situation I am in, they will try and cut off that relationship, because that person serves as a threat. So they cocoon you, they put you in this hole where you're extremely solely dependent on them. They're your world. Everything has to revolve around them. And then you wake up one day and you realize, fuck, what is happening to my life? All the beautiful friendships that you had cultivated over long periods of time, they're no longer there. They probably did not end well. And this is the one person that if you analyze the pattern of everything that is happening in your life, they're the center, they're the cornerstone of all the madness. Is it really worth it? Please exercise deep. Do not defend. Do not explain. Do not engage. Do not personalize. Keep everything very top layer. Wow. Oh, great. Sounds good. That's amazing. I don't agree with that. Why? I just don't. I just don't feel like it's right. Why don't you feel like it's right? I just told you I don't feel like it's right. The less ammunition you give them, the less opportunities they have to use against you. It is not easy, but it is not impossible. Last but not least, take a moment to examine yourself. Nobody is perfect. We are all ridden in flaws and all. And it's okay. That's what makes you a perfect, complete human being. I mean, I hate using the word perfect, but in this case, I just had to add emphasis using it. So examine yourself. How is this thing making me feel? How is this situation affecting my emotional stability? Do I leave feeling like a better person, or is it a high that once it fades, I feel pathetic, like more like a hangover? Is that the overall feeling that you're getting from that relationship? That's a red flag. And in some cases, it might be you who was over ambitious in the beginning, and then now things have slowed down, but you can't match the pace of how things are slowing down. So it's very important to occasionally, frequently, in fact, call yourself for a meeting just to evaluate your emotional sanity. Because if you keep ignoring it, you'd be making irrational decisions on a whirlwind, on a whim. And then the regret that then comes later when everything explodes is not worth it. And you end up in a psych ward, or you end up developing an addiction, or you might even end up killing a person. And crimes of passion are the worst. They never get any justice. So I hope you all enjoyed this episode as much as I have creating it. And I firmly believe that for me, life is a culmination of all of our experiences, good, bad, or ugly. That's what makes us who we are. So as I'm chopping my breakfast, taking my L in confidence, please remember me in your prayers. I don't like the fact that it kind of destabilized me a little bit to the point that I even sacrificed my commitment towards the podcast. And for everyone, shout out to Cindy. This babe DMs me frequently asking me, oh, Yvette, I've finally gotten to the end of the first 7 episodes. Where's the next episode? When are you dropping it? Everybody who is in my DM just pushing me to keep on keeping on. Olive and Karote sent me such a meaningful message. The Crypto Queen, I truly appreciate you. Bubbles, everyone who sent me messages, I can't remember all your handles, about how you really enjoyed the best friend tag and it's encouraged you to actually be more intentional about your friendships. You're more intentional towards male relationships, and you expect that female friendship should that flow. No, every relationship requires work. Love was never meant to be easy at all. I don't know why fantasies and fairy tales lie to us, but it is what it is. Anyway, till I come your way next time, please stay true, stay you. You know why? Because everybody else is taken. I love you guys. Please like, share, and repost. Subscribe to the podcast. It really helps with our visibility online. And if you can share snippets of what you've understood and enjoyed from this episode on your social media and tag me, it means the world to me. Please help me grow my market. Until I come your way next time, be blessed and have a fantastic week. Bye.